Well, I'm thankful tonight for the opportunity to dig in a little bit to the gospel. We have a great blessing to be able to have the word of the Lord to read and have the Holy Spirit to help give us understanding of it. I'd like to speak about a subject tonight. Written on the board, Citizen of Zion. Several Sundays ago, we spent some time as a congregation exploring what holiness means from a practical standpoint, how it applies to our lives, what it looks like. What is a holy person? What do they do? If you were to see one, how would you recognize what some of the attributes are of a holy person? And before that, we spent at least two Sundays, maybe three, on just the subject of holiness. What holiness is. And I believe a definition that I have been inspired with that makes sense and that is consistent with the word of the Lord is that holiness is defined by somebody who is dedicated, consecrated, set apart unto God. And we talked at length about the fact that holiness doesn't necessarily mean that you have no room for improvement in your life at all. If that's the case, I don't know if there's anyone holy save Jesus Christ. We have places in our lives that we need to improve, draw close to the Lord, grow in grace. But I believe there is an experience, according to the Scriptures and by experience and observation, where we can be fully committed, fully consecrated, set apart unto God, where that is the most important thing to us in life, and we live according to that, regardless of how it may cross us in the flesh. And we have spent time before here on what that looks like, on what it means to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. And we're not endeavoring to go through all of that again, but I'm inspired with this evening because it seems like the subject of holiness is a subject that with too many is not very well understood. It's something that if we're not careful, we can draw back from because we feel like that it's unattainable for us to be categorized as holy. The church world out around us, holiness is not something that you're going to hear preached about very often because it does get close. And it's something that people are even afraid to claim that they are part of a holiness group because we're afraid that people will somehow look at us with derision as if, oh, you think you're holy, you're perfect, you have no room for improvement at all in your life. You're the example, the bar that everybody should follow. And so sometimes we draw back from that and we don't have a very good understanding ourselves of what it is. And so I've had a burden over the last number of months to bring some messages on holiness, what holiness is, what it looks like from a practical living standpoint. And tonight I'd like to read out of the 15th chapter of Psalms because way back in David's time, years before Jesus Christ ever came, I believe that David had one of the same questions that we pose to ourselves and with each other often. And it gets to the subject of holiness. And so I'd like to read it, and we may not get through it all this evening. And I'd like your participation tonight as we look into this chapter. The first verse, and I'm also inspired before we get started, and I've mentioned this before, I'm always amazed at how few words the Holy Spirit needs to get a point across. Sometimes it can take us preachers way too many words to get out what it is we're trying to say. But you read the Holy Scriptures. I remember one time somebody saying the Sermon on the Mount. If you read through the Sermon on the Mount from start to end, I haven't timed myself with a stopwatch, but I believe they said they did it, and it took about 15 minutes. It might take a little bit more than that, but the Sermon on the Mount, 15 minutes. There's a lot said in 15 minutes. Well, what strikes me about the 15th chapter of Psalm is that really in four verses, it's five verses long, but he poses a question in the first verse, and then he answers that question under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because that's why it's in here, and in four verses just says a whole lot. And Lord willing, I'd like to be able to get a little bit of what the Holy Spirit wanted us to get from the words that David was inspired with all this long time ago. And the top of my Bible, or at the top of the heading of Psalm 15, it says, David describes a citizen of Zion. And the first verse says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who is it that you'll be pleased with? Lord, if there is a person that is going to be able to dwell in your tabernacle, Lord, the one that you will be accepting of, who is this? Have you ever asked yourself that? For yourself? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, how would you have me to live? Lord, what do I need to do in life so that I can be found acceptable in your sight? That's the most important thing to me tonight. That's my testimony to you. There's nothing more important to me than being in the favor of God. I don't want to be out of His favor. I want to understand what He wants of me in life. And David wanted to know the same thing. Lord, who can stand in your tabernacle? Who can be in your holy hill? What does a citizen of Zion look like? And Jeremiah said in Lamentations, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Let's search and see where is it that we stand. Lord, would you look at my life? Lord, would you try me? Lord, help me to know how I'm living compared to how you would like me to live so that I can make right whatever it is that may be wrong in my life. So let's search this a little bit tonight and see what the Lord maybe has for us. So he asks that question, and now he answers that question in four verses. The first verse says, the second verse, Psalm 15 and 2, here's his answer. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. I'd like your participation tonight. What does it mean when he says, he that walketh uprightly? What do you think that means? Uprightly.
someone gave you an exhortation. Now, you need to walk uprightly today. And they're not talking about not slumped over. What, from a spiritual standpoint,
what is he talking about?
With honor.
With honor, okay? Live honorably. With honor. What else? Transparent.
Integrity.
Entirety, wholeness. I looked it up too. And another word was honest, which goes with these words. So here's what we have. Upright. This is from the Lord. Inspired word of the Lord. Who is a citizen of Zion? What does holiness look like? How does God want us to live in our day-to-day life? He wants us to live honorably. He wants us transparent. Isn't that? That's kind of the same as honest, isn't it? It's, this is who I am, Lord. I'm not trying to cover anything up. It's, you can see right through me. This is me. Transparent. Open. Integrity. It goes along with honesty too, doesn't it? Entirety. Wholesome, wholeness, the whole thing. Don't carve out a part. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. What's righteousness? We use that word a lot. Righteousness, doing things right. According to who? According to God. It's righteousness is simply put, is living right, being right with God. What? Why is that important? It sounds simple. I mean, it sounds like, well, of course, it's you want to be right, doing things right. It's righteous, being right with God, being right before God. It sounds personal to me, does it to you? Do you think living righteously is talking about how the whole community is living? When we stand before God, is He going to say, how did the community live before me? He's going to want to know, how did you live before me? If you're interested in being a citizen of Zion, and we stand before God, we're going to be evaluated according to, were we right with God? Was I right with God? Here on this earth, while I lived my life, how can we know whether we're right with God? Do we just kind of hope that when we get to the end of the way that everything will be okay and we'll just somehow slip in and be right with God? No. Brother Clifford Wilson, I've heard him say this a lot of times when he was pastor in Jefferson. He would say, we're not going to make it in to heaven unless we want it worse than anything else in life. And it stuck with me, because I heard him say it a lot of times. So do you think that living with honor and transparent and with integrity and entirety, wholeness, honest, doing things right in the eyes of God, Does that affect how we conduct our lives each day and how we make decisions? Or is it just a concept? It has everything to do with how we make decisions each day. It has to do with our decision-making process. When we make decisions, we make them in a way that we can be right with God. There's so much that's said in that. You've heard me say before, my dad used to tell us children, we might have got a little bit tired of it because we were young until we realized the value of it, or maybe it's that it touched too close to home. As we were getting ready to go to school, children, put your signs on. Put your signs on, children. And he already told us what that meant. You know, back in the old days before I was ever born, people that would be selling newspapers or ice cream or something, they'd get two pieces of wood and tie it together with a rope and stick it over the top of their head and then have an advertisement. And the piece of wood would say something. So they could stand out there and people from away could look at them and it would, you know, maybe they were selling donuts or the newspaper or whatever. And we were taught, when you go out the front door, wear your sign that says, I am a Christian. And what he was really trying to tell us was, live in such a way that that testimony rings true. So that you don't live in a way so that you're telling somebody that I'm a Christian and yet you're living like this over here. I noticed that this verse says, he that walketh and worketh. What types of words are those? They're action words. These words speak to action that we do, that you do. He that liveth, he that walketh, he that worketh righteousness. It's how we live our lives. People say, well, what does holiness look like? Well, a citizen of Zion, according to this chapter, which is part of the Holy Word of God, speaks of living our lives each day so that we're living with integrity. We're honest. We're living so that we're doing things right before God, which means we have to spend some time understanding what it is that God wants us to do in our life. If I'm told you need to live according to what Mr. So-and-so says down the street with regards to your job, otherwise you're not going to get paid, I want to know what Mr. So-and-so expects of me so that I'll get paid. I don't want to just go off on my own and then hope that whatever I do, I want to go find out what is it that you expect of me. The Lord wants us to spend time understanding what He wants of us. Does it mean something to us or not? Because it takes time. If we're going to understand what God wants of us, it's going to take more than just living our days day after day, and the days just fly by, and then the weeks, and then it turns into months and years, and then pretty soon you're not just a little kid anymore and you get older, and pretty soon one day you meet God, and the question may be, how much time did you spend trying to understand what I wanted of you? Because there's a lot of it right here. How can I do things right before God if I haven't even put any time in to figure out what it is He wants of me? These are action words. He that walketh uprightly. He that worketh righteousness, which means I need to understand what righteousness is. He wants us to be honest and pure in all that we do in our lives. It's going to mean more than, as was mentioned this morning, I believe in Sunday school, signing our name on the back of a commitment card that says, I believe that Jesus is God's Son, and I've sinned, and I accept His forgiveness. And then we put it in in some church box somewhere and our name gets put in a book that we've completed the card. Folks, it's going to take more than that to be a citizen of Zion. It's going to involve us living our lives each day where it's important to us to be honest in everything that we do. It's going to be real important that we're transparent with God. He already knows who we are. He wants us to be honest with ourselves too. He wants us to be honest with other people. He wants us to live honorably. And this goes into how we interact with our family, how we interact with people at work, how we interact with people here in the congregation. The Lord still requires us to be honest, and it still means something with Him, with other people, and with ourselves. It doesn't do well for any of us to color or cover or shade the truth when we're talking about trying to please a God who is the very epitome of light and truth. And it can be easy sometimes to get in situations where we wanna live with integrity and we wanna present the entirety of the situation, but you know, it would be convenient in this case to just color it a little, shade it just a little bit. Maybe say something that the words were true, but the meaning was false. Is that possible to do? For us to say things that, technically speaking, the words that we said were true, and yet the meaning that was conveyed is false. What we conveyed was not consistent with what truth is. Following what I'm saying? Do you know that we can say things, but then have body language that goes along with what we say, or innuendo, or inference, so that we can communicate a meaning that is different from what we actually said with our words? Yeah, I really like him. I said I liked him. I mean, if anybody ever comes and says, you said you didn't like him, I said, I didn't say that. I said I liked him. But that wasn't the meaning that I conveyed. This gets close, folks. The Lord looks and He sees what we sign our name to. He sees how we communicate with other people in translating what we say were the events of a situation. And it can be so easy to shift the truth just a little bit. And I'm not preaching tonight that we be in bondage. That's not what I'm talking about, where we have to analyze everything we say and be in bondage to where we're afraid to say anything for fear that something might come across differently than what we meant. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about purposefully coloring the truth. But you can sort of say you told the truth, but you know good and well it was not the meaning of it. God wants His people to walk uprightly. He wants us to work righteousness. David gave some more color to this verse in Psalms 24 and 3. If somebody could read that. Psalm 24 and 3. Well, 3 and 4. Ah, nor sworn deceitfully. See, he's asking the same question just a few chapters later now. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? It's kind of the same question that was posed in the first verse. And then he goes through these things, clean hands, pure heart, not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. See that? Swearing deceitfully. It's like, no, I told them. I absolutely, this is what I said. But you did. But you did it in a deceitful way. I know that these things seem like core principles. You know, you go to companies out in the world and they have what they call core values. And one of the core values that you often see is integrity. And as Christians here this evening, this is nothing new. This just seems like, well, of course, we know we're supposed to be honest. But I want to say tonight, these things need to be given thought and how they're applied in our lives, because we can become so desensitized to truth that we've been taught our whole lives that seems so obvious to us that we almost, if we're not careful, can somehow put ourselves in the position where we think, well, I know the truth, I know what I'm supposed to do, and it's okay to make an exception over here for whatever reason. And start to subtly shift and allow some things to start coming into our lives that aren't completely consistent with these words that we've put on the board as definition of walking uprightly, which these words meet that definition. Being right with God. I don't want to swear deceitfully. I don't want to be deceitful in how I communicate with other people. I'd like to also read Isaiah 33 and 15, if somebody could get that. Isaiah 33 and 15. Here's another from Isaiah in one verse. He's responding to the question of who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? What is it that we need to do? How do we need to live so that we won't be consumed by devouring fire? He that walketh righteously, we got that one captured, and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. The Lord doesn't want us to take advantage of other people, or participate in things that aren't consistent with the love of God and the way of God. This gets close too. What are some examples of things that are commonplace in the world around us that many people participate in that is not at all consistent with the love of God? There are many places and things where people are taken advantage of. There are businesses that are out there that take advantage of other people. You can be part of it, or you can be a participant of it. Either way, the Lord is not pleased with it. There are businesses out there that promote destroying the temple of God in different ways. The Lord wants us to love each other. He doesn't want us to be carnal. Doesn't the Scripture teach us not to be carnal? Doesn't the Word of God teach us that not to strive with each other? And yet in the entertainment world that is out there, isn't so much of the entertainment that is out there has a lot to do with being carnal with other people and striving with other people in very ungodly ways? It gets close. But the Scriptures tell us, if we want to be a citizen of Zion, if we want the Lord to be pleased with the conduct of our lives, He wants us to give ourselves and find fulfillment in things that He would be pleased with, so that I could say, I'm a Christian. Holiness unto the Lord. Does this sound consistent with just kind of living however you want and thank the Lord that He died on the cross and He shed His blood to cover our sins, and we accept that, but then we can just kind of go on and live however we want, sin you will, sin you must? Does these Scriptures sound that way? It's not. Folks, the Lord is calling on us to walk uprightly, to live uprightly, to work righteousness, to live in such a way that we can be right before God, and that He doesn't find us finding pleasure in seeing other people being taken advantage of or pushed down and hurt, or giving ourselves to idolizing men and women versus holding God up as God. I think it's going to mean something. I think it's going to mean something for us to live carefully. David thought about it way back in his time. He was concerned that he wanted to be found acceptable before God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, understanding that we were going to have some of the same questions, inspired him to write these verses so that we could get a hold of it. This last phrase in the second verse said, "And speaketh the truth in whose heart?" His heart. Our own heart. I'll close with this evening, so we're not going to have time to go on. Maybe we'll catch some of these other things another night. It is so critically important that we're honest with ourselves in how we make decisions and what our motives are. You know, it's really easy to justify so many things that we would like to justify in our lives. We can take something that God isn't pleased with, maybe an element of it, but there's good that's associated with it on the periphery. And we can tell ourselves that the reason that we're doing what we're doing is because of this good. Yet, we know full well that the reason we're trying to go after it is because there's something in there that we know is not right, but we want to allow it into our lives, or we want to participate in it. We want to spend time with it. But we tell ourselves, well, I'm doing it because it's this thing over here. It's good. It's good. And shouldn't we do things that are good? And yet, we know deep down in our hearts that that's not the real motive of why we're doing what we're doing. May the Lord help us understand what that means for us personally. I want to speak the truth in my heart. I want to be honest with myself on why I live like I live. And I for sure want to be honest with God, because He already knows my heart. He knows why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm going to face Him one of these days. And I'm not going to be able to tell the Lord, Lord, the reason why I allowed this in my life is because, well, I was just trying to reach people out in the world. I just thought that if they wouldn't look at me so funny, and if I lived more like they live, I could share the gospel with them better, Lord. That's the reason why I did this thing in my life. Lord, I was. Didn't Saul say that when the Lord said, "I want you to go and I want you to destroy the entire enemy, destroy everything about him." And Saul came back, and was it Samuel? I think was the prophet. The Samuel came and he says, and before Samuel said anything, it was like Saul already knew he was in trouble. And Saul said, I did just according to the word of the Lord. I did just what I was supposed to do. And Samuel said, but what is that sound I hear? It's almost like I hear bleeding. What is that noise? Oh, yeah, well, we kept the best of them so that the sheep, which they were supposed to destroy, we kept them so that we could offer a sacrifice to God. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't offering a sacrifice to God, wouldn't that be a good thing? But the Lord said, destroy it all. And yet, we as humans can find little places and reasons to say, I did this for an honorable cause. And yet, we know that the reason we really did what we did was because we wanted to allow something in that appealed to the flesh that we knew wasn't right. A citizen of Zion is one that walketh, liveth uprightly, honestly, with integrity, entirety, wholeness, honor, transparent, and worketh righteousness, being right with God, and speaketh the truth in his heart. The Lord's not trying to use these things as a stick to beat us over the head with it or make life difficult for us. This is a citizen of Zion. This is somebody that can be part of the population of that city where God reigns, where He's the most powerful, where He's a God of love and care and wants to help you in life and wants to pick you up when you fall down and wants to forgive your sins and wants to set your feet on a solid place, and He wants to put a new song in your heart. He wants to do good things for you. He wants to allow you to be able to lay down at night and sleep with a clear conscience. This is the God that we're talking about, and these things help us be a citizen of Zion. What a privilege. It isn't to make our life more difficult. It's not to try to put us through so that we have second best in this life compared to everybody that kind of does whatever they want to do. The Lord's showing us, if you follow the way that I outline for you, you will have a blessed life. You'll be blessed. You'll have peace. You'll find fulfillment in this life. And then when you cross over into the next life, you can have peace with me and enter in to the place that I've prepared for you. God wants good for us. And so He's faithful to help outline to us, do these things, walk uprightly, work righteousness, speak the truth in your heart, and make adjustments. If you need to make adjustments, don't get all down and discouraged on yourself that you failed. Make the adjustments. Thank the Lord that He showed you that there was something in your life that needed to be changed. He's given you that opportunity. Make the adjustments. Make things right, however you need to make it right. And thank the Lord that you can go forward as a citizen of Zion. And the Lord will be right there to help us on the way. To have victory. To be at peace in our hearts. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your heart. Is my prayer. I want to be a citizen of Zion. Pray for me.